Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. My opinion has nothing to do with it. That's what the Word says.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the Scripture says about service. This message was recorded at a staff orientation in 2008. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for more than 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, service!
Let's look in Philippians chapter 2. First of all, then I want to make another reference in Thessalonians, and then I want to take a Bible example of service. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Service of your faith, a genitive of source here. Service that comes out of faith. And Paul is telling the Philippians, hey, don't worry about me. If I'm facing impending death and I be offered, and it's a pagan picture here of what would happen, that the vapor that would be poured after. Paul is saying, the thing thrills me is the labor of your faith. He said, don't worry if I am taken, because what I have done is going on in you. So that's quite an interesting phrase, the service of your faith. Then look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, again emphasizing the fact that service comes out of saving faith, not to be accepted, but because we have been accepted. Paul is giving thanks for the Thessalonians. And he said, we give thanks to God always for you, all making mention of you in our prayers. And then verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. It's work that comes out of faith. Labor, and it goes from ergos, an energetic work of a new convert, to kapos, which is a death-producing labor that comes. Out of what? Out of agape love. All of our service, all of the work that we do is sourced in faith. Sourced in the fact that we are saved by faith. Then we are to live and walk by faith. And then, of course, the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Past, work of faith, our salvation. Present, labor of love. Future, present, the patience of hope. Look in verse 9. Of the same chapter, for they themselves show us, speaking of the Thessalonian converts, show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned. Okay, that is a past tense that, in my opinion, relates to work of faith. That because of your saving faith, you are now laboring. What does it say? Ye turn to God from idols. What's the next phrase? To serve. So what is the source of our service? The source of our service is saving faith. How ye turn to God from idols to serve, and this is a whole three message in itself, the living and the true God, to wait. So here you have past, present, future that I think matches verse 3. Work that comes out of saving faith that's happened in their life's labor that is now coming out of agape love that is in the present, and patience that is of hope that is looking forward to the trumpet sound. So faith then is the basis of the topic of our service. We serve because we are saved by grace through faith. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to take an example and see a statement that really needs to get our attention. We know early on in Hebrews 11, speaking of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen as yet. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed. It goes back into ex nihilo creation. And then verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And here's the statement that needs to grip us. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What drove Enoch until God took him? The fact that God exists and God rewards. God exists, God rewards. God exists, God rewards. They didn't have the tangible evidences. They were not holding a scripture in their hand. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now we saw the service that we do, the labor that we do needs to come out of saving faith. Work, absolutely. We can work ourselves, our fingers to the bone. But if it is not sourced in saving faith, it is not that which is going to have that eternal perspective and that eternal reward in the midst of all of that. So ask myself the question, what have I done in the last month that demanded faith? What gift given? What attempt at ministry was given? If you've attempted to give the gospel to someone, if you attempted to see someone saved, you did that by faith. But what else in our lives is demanding faith? We're pretty comfortable. And when it says without faith, it is impossible to please him. We need to examine this. So I want to take an example of a servant from Noah in verse 7. The verse begins by faith and ends by faith. And I just want to take the verbs and I want to quickly work through this because I want to end with about six descriptions of a servant mentality. But I want to look first of all from this aspect of faith. Look, by faith, Noah being warned. Okay, that's verb number one. In that word, I see the word. So what is the basis of my serving? It's the same thing. It's the basis of my faith. The fact that the word of God is true. Noah had nothing else to go on except God said it. And when God spoke it, Noah took that word of God and acted upon that word of God. We today have all scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed. There's again workmen, rightly dividing what? The word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So how would you best define faith? Faith is three words. I believe God. I heard a preacher say one time, if there were no Bible, if there were no heaven, if there were no hell, the Christian life is still the best way to live. Paul didn't say that. Paul said, if these things be not true, we are of all men most miserable. Why not go eat, drink, and be merry? Go and find, grab everything you can grab, live every way you can live, do everything you can do, because you're just going to go like a dog anyway. But we have God's absolute truth. Noah being warned. That's the word. Secondly, of things not seen as yet, moved. Take that next verb. With fear. There's worship. So I see the word in this text. I see worship in this text. Moved with what? Fear. I don't believe this was Noah cowering, fearing God. I think when Noah heard God speak and gave the commandment, he was so lifted up in his heart in adoration and praise because the one who spoke the word was worthy of every single thing within Noah's being to lift up his heart in adoration to him. I don't think Noah heard God say, Noah, there's a flood coming. Noah goes and hides. And no, I think it was, oh God, what? You're this great, you are the creator. You are everything that Noah knew of his God. Remember, Noah lived in an era where all mankind had gone defiled. Every thought of the heart was evil continually. We're nothing close to that. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was the only man left. So he did not have a big cluster of people to meet with and a big group to come and say like this. What if Noah had this group with him when he was attempting to obey God? At least he would have had some encouragement. No, he didn't have that. You know what? His heart was lifted up in worship. What is the very first thing that Noah did when they were allowed to disembark? He built an altar. That was reflective of what was in Noah's heart in the first place. Noah walked with God. Noah worked with God. Noah worshiped God. And so we see worship. And when we think, what is praise and worship? It is songs and praise by the redeemed to the Redeemer about the redemption. What we see in the ark is the picture of what we are in Christ, the salvation that was provided for us in Christ. And so when we see moved with fear, and now I want to go on to the next verb, prepared. Here's where service comes in. We've seen the word here. We've seen worship here. Now we see work. And then, you know what? Things have to be ordered. Cars have to be fixed. Yes, we serve by faith, but we work. We believe God's word is true. The gospel has to be given. Everybody contributes. We lift up our hearts in praise and adoration to Him in song and worship because He is the one who is worthy of my obedience. So I go to work. And you begin to see the hand of God moving. And Noah worked, and it wasn't like a little brief thing. It was a long, long haul with no one else believing, no one else having any confidence at all that this was going to take place. Let's turn to 1 Peter, because I do think that we need an affirmation that this was not just some dreamed up thing. But it was indeed truth. And thank God there are many, 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 many evidences of a worldwide flood that the scientists cannot deny. Now, verse 18, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I think when Christ went down to paradise or however this was, he wasn't going to preach that they might have another chance to get saved. He was making proclamation, I won. He was making a proclamation to those disobedient spirits that fell when? We'll find out in 2 Peter. Which were sometimes disobedient. What spirits? Sometimes disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited during the days of Noah. Isn't that interesting? It was the long suffering, the forbearance of God that allowed that 120 years. Giving them chance after chance after chance after chance to repent. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. Wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Now let's go to 2 Peter and save through water. This is not baptismal regeneration. But look now in verse 9 of 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And spared not the old world, speaking a challenge here, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, these spirits that were in prison, Christ goes to them, makes the proclamation, I won. And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness. What was he doing during those 120 years? Preaching righteousness. Why? By faith. Because God said it. Noah walked with God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. The affirmation of the testimony of God. Work. How does the world believe that we believe God's word. They see the work that is being done that we have attempted in this effort. Now I want to see another word, witness. Now, how is this region going to see? People come from the area. People come from Iron Mountain. They drive in and say, we had no idea anything was here like this. We had no idea that there were people out here like that and this complex out here like that. And it says, by which he condemned the world. That verb, condemned. Noah's obedience to God put the world in the wrong. In other words, his witness to the world, he witnessed to the world his love for God, his obedience to God, the awe of how he saw God by his serving day after day after day after day after day. And he witnessed to the world by his service that there was the truth of what God said. And it did not look good for Noah. There is a difference between a Christian witness or Christian evidence and apologetics. There are Christian evidences. For example, an evidence would be a prophecy declared, a prophecy fulfilled. That does not offend the rational mind at all, because that's an evidence. They go and do these tells. They dig in Israel. And what they've dug up is an affirmation of what the Bible says regarding that city or regarding that area. That is an evidence. That does not offend the rational mind. What offends the rational mind is faith when there's no evidence. And that's where our apologetic is. Be ready always to give an answer to every man, a reason of the hope that lies within us with meekness and with fear. And when I studied philosophy in college, there was a philosophical triangle. Level number one was called horse. That's the horse. You knew the horse was there because you could see the horse. Level number two was the shadow of the horse. It was called horseness. You knew the horse was there because you could see the shadow of the horse. Top level of that triangle was faith. And that is what was offensive to the Greek rational mind. That's when the dust would fly and the robes would be torn, when it came to that level of faith. And we look like oddballs to this world. In other words, you believe the Bible and you believe that there is a heaven and you believe that there is a literal hell, and that if people don't accept Christ as Savior, they're going to hell. With all the other religions in the world, you think you're the only ones who are right. Say, no, God's word says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. My opinion has nothing to do with it. That's what the word says. You say, well, don't you look like oddballs? Absolutely. Do we look narrow? Well, after that health session, no. Do you appear narrow? Maybe I should say in your thinking. But you know what? We're as narrow as the Bible. But is God's word still true? You know what? There's no doubt we get pitied by people in this world. And we're out here, but our work becomes a witness. And that witness, those local churches in those places, giving the gospel, building buildings, going out reaching kids, that work is a witness to a watching world. And when God's truth is proclaimed, your obedience puts the world in the wrong. Noah's obedience put the world in the wrong. And there was that witness. And then last of all, the wage of our service. What is the wage? Well, first of all, saving, that verb saving of his house. Genesis chapter 7 in verse 1, God says, okay, Noah, take you and your family and get into the ark. God had all of the arrangements made, even how the animals came in twos and in sevens, and he had all the arrangements made for the sacrifice that was to be made. He made all of the arrangements for the offerings that were to be given unto God in worship, how all the animals were loaded. It was all taken care of. And then God says, Noah, get in the ark. And I think sometimes that's what we have a hard time with. Just patiently waiting. God's calendar is not our calendar. In fact, you read Hebrews 11 all the way through. It says, and many died not having seen the promise. But without them, we will not be made perfect. They lived their entire life never seeing the promise fulfilled. But yet they function by faith. And they're listed in this roll call of faith. Before Paul died, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That's a perfect tense. I have been fighting. I have been finishing. I have been keeping. Paul did not say, I attained. Paul did not say, I'm perfect. That's why the perfect tense, it wasn't an aorist. It was a perfect tense, a dot and a continuous line. I have been fighting. I have been finishing. I have been keeping. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. God exists, God rewards. God exists, God rewards. Paul functioned in that way. And when Paul identified himself, he identified himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. How? By faith. His work came out of saving faith. So one was condemned, the second verb became. So he not only saved his house, condemned the world, house was saved, he then became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So what was the wage and what was the reward of that service, that continuous, ongoing service? We see God's promise fulfilled in every single thing Noah preached came to pass. Based on what? The word of God. What is faith? I believe God. Why look like an oddball in this system of this world? Because God's word is truth, which would lift our hearts up in obedient worship, which would cause us to go to work in service, which would cause us to be a witness to the world. And ultimately, we will see the reward of that labor. And it will not be here. You don't stop loving and serving God because of a problem. You say, God, you have your way in my life. Now, let me give you the words, and I'm done here. I just took a servant mentality. What is it? And it's first vocational. And all I did was took the fact that we have been called to this. 2 Peter 1, Philippians 1, James chapter 1, Titus chapter 1. Each one of these writers identifying, they name themselves a servant. And that servant is our vocation. We've been called and we've been empowered. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5 speaks after you have been to serve the living and true God. Right after that is the empowerment for that. Paul said, I did not come to you in my flesh. I came, but in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. It's vocational. That's our job. It's directional. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24 speaks about, but serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is it directional because it is spiritually driven, it is continual in that direction. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 15 said the redeemed will serve him continually day and night there in that city. Thirdly, let me give you the word reasonable. Vocational, it is directional, it is reasonable. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Now, what does that mean? Reasonable versus ritual. Because the contrast is made based on everything we knew of justification, sanctification, glorification, and everything that we have in our adoption and in our position in Christ. He says, therefore, I come to you. You don't do this in a ritual like the Old Testament did, but in a reasonable way. You don't go through a ritual. Now what you're doing, your service and the presentation of your body is come not a ritual that you have to fulfill, but a reasoned process that stems itself in worship. And so it is a refreshing thing to get up in the morning and say, you know what? I am going to present my reasonable service. What do you mean? I am going to present out of an intelligence thought process my service to the Lord. Where the Old Testament was just do this and scare this bird and get these goats running and get all that going, and you had to follow every detail. And I think that detail was to protect them from intrusion of false systems. Every detail. Thank the Lord for Hebrews. Once for all. So is it reasonable for us? Yes, it is. And then it's relational. Serving is relational. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. He is making a plea to Euodias and Syntyche. They would be of the same mind. You'll see these women that are identified in Philippians chapter 4. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any fellowship, it's relational. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another in love. And I guess vocational is fine, directional is fine, reasonable is fine. Satan will hammer at this area of relational. Because if he can get the tension in relationships, the power plug gets pulled in this. You serve one another. Serve the same in this, of the same love, of the same mind. And you see the approach that is given in Philippians chapter 4, and that you be of the same mind and be of the same thinking. Look in verse 2, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, the same love, one accord, one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But let each esteem other better than themselves. Let each esteem others better. And then it's mental. How do we see that? Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2. Our serving mentality is mental. It's a mindset. There's a unity. There's a lowliness. There's a conformity to the Christ-like character. There is a glory that is in the end, that God is exalted and Christ is exalted in all of it. So what is a humble mentality then? Think others first, serve others first, sacrifice for others first in order that God might be glorified. That's humble serving.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on service. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.